And when he sees the centurion with this great faith, who has this power, who has this authority, and he submits himself, he's willing to humble himself to a subordinate. That's when he goes, that's great faith. And it's not even for his benefit. It's for the benefit of someone he was fond of.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Bolt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Christians express their faith in a variety of ways. However, there are times when our faith is discouraged by our circumstances and our faith suffers. It's my hope that through this series, your faith is built and encouraged. The Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part 3 of an authoritative faith.
But often what it is, it's a pride issue. He resists the proud. He resists pride itself, but he gives grace to the humble. Sometimes we don't like to hear that. You know, sometimes we can go through a situation, we want God to do things. God, you said in your word, you would do this, so I want you to do it now, this way. And sometimes we in churches will teach people that's the way you approach God. Can I tell you, you don't tell God what he's going to do. All right? That is a bad place to put yourself in, and you're going to fail miserably, by the way, and you're going to be very discouraged. But we actually have, now I believe there's power in proclaiming God's word. I believe there's power in standing on the promises of God's word. I believe there's a position we should take on God's word. And there's nothing wrong with reminding God of his word. He likes to hear that. But when you get that place, that position of demanding, whew. Recently my daughter has been in this place where, well, she's a teenage girl. That's all I got to say. We'll say certain things. She'll take it her way. And that's how she understands it. Some of you have been there before, right? That's how we approach God sometimes. We approach God like a teenage girl. God, this is what you said. That's what I said, but that's not exactly what I said. And we got to be very careful that we don't try to twist God's arm behind him. Pride cannot and will not submit itself to God. Therefore, it causes us to miss the blessings of God. This Roman centurion was trained to be confident. He was trained to be superior. He was trained to be dominant. I mean, these guys were not trained to be peacekeepers. They were warriors. They were trained to kill. And when I think of a Roman soldier, I think of the Marines. And if any of you were in any other branches of the military, don't mean any disrespect for that. But remember the recruiting slogan of the Marines? The few? What was the middle one? The proud? The Marines, right? There's a sense of pride, correct? There's a sense of pride you build within that soldier. I mean, look at their uniforms. Look at the material that they use, correct? That you see a sense of pride. And so when I think of the centurion, think of the Roman soldiers. Some of you can picture it now, what a Roman soldier looked like. You see a sense of pride, arrogance, dominance, power. There was a purpose for that. And so now you have a man who has been trained. I mean, this is how he's been trained, to be a fighting force. He's trained to be a leader. He's trained to protect the empire. And now he comes to a person who really is subordinate. And I don't mean that any disrespect to Jesus. Follow me what I'm saying. Jesus is fully God, fully man, but he doesn't know he's fully God. He just knows he's a man. And so this man's living in his territory, whom he has power and authority over, he submits himself then to a subordinate. Are you following me? See, there's power in that. We miss that. That's why I think children's ministry, for example, is one of the most powerful things you'll ever do. Because here's why. Those kids whom we are used to being over, when you begin to serve them, you put yourself in a place of humility. And you receive God's blessing in a very powerful way. So you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's what? A prophet's reward. You receive a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward. But if you receive those who can't really bless you, guess who blesses you and takes care of you? See, there's power in humility. We miss that often. This man could easily look at Jesus as a subordinate, say, there's no way. Bring him to me. He's going to do what I want. But he doesn't. What does he do? He calls for it. He goes through proper channels. And as he comes to, this is where it really becomes really powerful. And I think this is where the soldier shows the most humility and the most faith. When he says in verse 7, "Therefore I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word." But say the word. Say the word and my servant will be healed. See, this guy is used to saying, you go here, you go there, and they go. They obey. They don't ask questions. They just do. Now, there are some places in the world, there are some jobs in the world that when a boss asks you to do something, you can ask a question. But there are certain jobs and there are certain careers that you don't ask questions. You just do. You follow orders. And so this man is in the business of you follow orders. You were in wartime. You're an occupying soldier. You follow orders. You don't ask questions. You don't debate. You go and you do. And this man is used to that. But what does he do? He says, listen, he understands commands. He understands words. And so he says, listen. And I think this is the motivation. The motivation is that his servant is dying and he understands that he could die at any time. But if you are on your way, I know you're coming, it's your will to heal him, then just say the word. Just release the word. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And we know from the story that is exactly what takes place. His servant is healed on his way. All right, Jesus is on his way, and the servant is sick, and he encounters the second delegation, and he says, just say the word. The soldier, the centurion says, just when you get to him, just have him say the word. And the soldier directly appeals to the power and to the authority of Jesus. He understands that Jesus has power over sickness. Man, I wish, think about this, you can replace this with anything now. I wish we would truly get that into our spirit, that he really has all power. Do we really believe that? Because I believe this is what happens. So this is, I'm just going to speak to you now from personal experience. I believe Jesus has all power until I get into that situation where I have to believe he has all power. I know that he has all power, but when I get into a circumstance where I have to believe and trust that he has all power, that's when I waver. You know what? My dad and I could both tell you about this. When mom was ill, we both stood on God's promise to believe God's going to heal her, trusted, didn't waver in that. But it didn't happen. So what happens? What happens when you do all the right things and you stand all the right? It comes down to this. Remember this. Authority is in God. Authority is in Christ. And sometimes things just don't work out the way we want them to work out. He's got all by himself. And that's sometimes it's hard for us to understand. But in that position, I don't think it was wrong for us to stand firm and believe in God was going to heal her to the very end. There was nothing wrong with that. And I think that's the position we need to take. We always need to take. And that's the position that the centurion takes. And what happens is there's a healing that does take place. Here's what I want to show you. I'm going to kind of come to a close here in just a moment. Why did Jesus proclaim this man as having great faith? And you say, well, you know, he understood authority and all that. This is what he really recognizes, and this is what I want to point out in Philippians chapter 2. I think this is probably one of the most powerful overlooked verses that we in the body of Christ go over, but yet it's one of the most powerful verses we need to pay attention to. This is what Paul writes about Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." Jesus is all, listen, when we think of Jesus, this is, and I've said this before, we think of Jesus this way, we think of the Trinity this way. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? But that's not the way it is. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal members of the Trinity. The Father is not the greater, and the Holy Spirit is some watered-down version of him. They're equal members of the Trinity. When you read this verse, let's think about this now. "Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God," verse 7, "but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, a slave, and coming in the likeness of men." He humbled himself, coming to be God in the flesh. That is a humbling in itself. That the creator becomes the creation, so to speak. "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." He dies a criminal's death. He submits himself to death, submits himself into the hands of sinful man to be crucified. It speaks of humility, submission. "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God resists pride, but he generously gives grace to the humble, to those who are willing. Why? Because when we do that, we're the most like Jesus. That's the fact of the matter. We're the most like Jesus when we humble ourselves. When we take up a position where we can have authority, or where we can have a seat of honor, or we can have a place of honor, but we choose not to, and we choose to take a seat of humility, a place of humility. That's why Jesus was so smitten by this man's faith, why he said he has great faith, because he sees a man with all the power, all the authority someone could want, but what does he do? He puts it all aside, and think about this, not even for his benefit, for the benefit of another. One that he loved, that one that he cared for. And when he sees that, I mean, that's the heart of God. That's the heart of the cross. He has all power. He has all authority. Jesus has all the power, all authority, yet he submits himself to the cross, and he dies for you and I. And when he sees, he knows what he's going to do. He knows he's heading to the cross. He knows his mission. And when he sees the centurion with this great faith, who has this power, who has this authority, and he submits himself, he's willing to humble himself to a subordinate. That's when he goes, that's great faith. And it's not even for his benefit. It's for the benefit of someone he was fond of. This message, I know it's insignificant to answer this question. Because when we read stories like that, we say, why them? Why then? Why them? Why not me, right? I humble myself, God. You know, I've submitted myself, and I wish this message could answer all those, and it can. There are some situations that you and I will just never understand, and we just got to trust God. But all I can do in this message is eliminate those and say this, that when you are trusting God, always put yourself in a place of humility. Trust him. Submit yourself to him. Submission is the key. Be obedient to the Lord. Luke 22:42, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That should be the cry of our hearts. It's not about us, it's about Jesus, amen? It's the heart of Jesus. All authority has been given to him. The Bible says in Romans, it's through him and by him all things were made. Yet Jesus, fully God, fully man, co-equal member of the Trinity, submits himself, humbles himself for the will, for the benefit of us. And when we do that, when we take that position of humility, that's when he says, that's great faith. So you probably thought this was going to take a whole different angle, didn't you? Are you experiencing his authoritative flow in your life? Are you experiencing his authoritative flow, his flow of authority in your life? If not, then you have to look and say, do I have pride? Because God resists the proud. And that's pride, by the way. But he gives grace to the humble. Are you born again? Are you born again? Is Jesus Lord over your life? Are you submitted to his will? Are you humble? Are you experiencing the authoritative flow of God's power in your life personally, daily? Are there any areas of struggle with pride in your life? Are there areas where you need to submit yourself to the will of God? If we take God's word this way, and please hear what I'm going to say on this, the word of God this way, and again, we take it, we read it, and we use it, and we say, now, God, this is what you say, and this is what you need to do. It doesn't work that way, and you're going to set yourself up for failure. And I think sometimes that's when we go through trials, we go through circumstances, that's what we try to do. We try to take God, we try to take his word, we try to play it against him rather than just submitting to him.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The word of God calls believers to walk by faith and not by sight. It's my hope that your faith has been encouraged by this message. If you're not attending a house of worship and you are looking for a home church, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, or adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Our web address is www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.